How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
You're listening to Day 43 of Preparation for Resurrection. Our title today is A New Commandment. Gary Burge said, "This command to love bears all the weight of the person who uttered it." Our text today is John 13, 33 through 35. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Shortly before the cross, Jesus gives his disciples a new commandment. James Montgomery Boyce explains how this command to love is new. The command to love is ancient, existing before Christ's coming. In its simplest and best-known form, it's found in Leviticus 19-18, which says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." But if the commandment was an old commandment, as it must have been if it is recorded in one of the first five books of the Old Testament, in what sense is it new? Indeed, how can Christ call it a new command? The answer is that it was raised to an entirely new level and given an entirely new significance by Jesus. We can say that it is given a new object. It is to be exercised according to a new measure. It is to be made possible by a new power. First, the command to love received a new object. The verse from Leviticus declares that the Jew is to love his neighbor as himself. In Christ's command, by contrast, the relationship is spiritual, for love one another is for any believer in Jesus. The commandment is also to be exercised according to a new measure. What was love before this, after all? A vague feeling of goodwill? A need to defend a neighbor? Yes, this and perhaps a bit more. But it was not that measure of love seen in the fact that the God of the universe would take human form, suffer, and die for those who were ungodly in order that, almost in spite of themselves, those who hated God and had tried to turn from him might be redeemed from the chains of sin and brought into glory. This is love, writes John in the fourth chapter of his magnificent first letter. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The measure of this love is the standard found in 1 Corinthians 13. This is the love Jesus brought, and it was a new thing in this world. Third, the command to love is also new in that it is made possible by a new power. The power is the power of the Holy Spirit, the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ in each believer. How much we need this. Without it, we cannot love as Christ loved. For such love cannot be achieved by human energy. Jesus declared that by obeying this new command, people would realize that we are his disciples. It's when we love all people with the love displayed at the cross, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that the world will know that we belong to him. Interestingly, many who choose not to believe in Jesus argue that Christianity only amounts to a rigid system of rules. They suggest that following Jesus lacks enjoyment because of the restrictions God places on our actions. These lost people perceive God's commands as burdensome. Even true believers may mislead those who are lost when they adopt a mindset of merely enduring their Christian journey instead of enjoying and embracing the numerous benefits that accompany knowing Jesus Christ. When Jesus stated, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," he was not promoting legalism. He was expressing love. God provides us with commandments because he cares for us and wishes to safeguard us. A caring father provides his children with clear guidelines to shield them from the consequences of poor choices. What father wouldn't caution his children against the hazards of playing with fire? What kind of father wouldn't insist that his children steer clear of strangers? Our God, as the perfect heavenly Father, must impart commandments to his children so they do not miss out on the best that life has to offer. As a child, I struggled to comprehend the rules set by my father. During my teenage years, I frequently questioned both his rules and his authority. However, as I matured, I came to realize that those rules existed because my father loved me. Once I became a father myself, I gained a profound understanding of the heavy responsibility that fathers have regarding their children's safety and well-being. Likewise, as we progress in our Christian journey, we begin to see that Christ's commandments are rooted in his love for us. Once we recognize the depths of his love, we feel compelled to obey his commandments in return. Our desire to follow God stems from a loving relationship, as we acknowledge that these guidelines originate from his love for us. We need to learn that our obedience to God is not a matter of obligation, but rather a matter of genuine desire. We can grow spiritually in every season of life if we realize that his commandments and our obedience are both fueled by love. Consider these questions. How does the timing of Jesus' statement and the newness of his command impact your desire to obey him? How can your obedience to God's commands display your divine love for him? In what ways does your love show the world that you are his disciple? Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.